take note, to mark. There's a Greek word that's real. It's not an unusual word, but it's skopos and skopia. And kind of our word scope comes from it, and it means put the scope to it, like you'd put the microscope to something. And to me, that means a little more than just to mark or heed or take note. I mean, the Lord wants you to really look it over. The etymology of the word kind of means like to look something over with a very critical eye, such as a judge would. It's not telling you to judge someone, but to beware and be careful. Don't let someone deceive you. We have kind of certain ministries around and say you should be under a priest. I'm not talking about the Catholic Church now, okay? But they say you should be under a man, a reverend. I disagree with that. I disagree with it strongly. Because you're a child of God, you're supposed to act like it. And you're supposed to take your... You are an underling of God and the Savior alone, okay? Other than that, you're a child of God, and we're all brethren and family. And man, I don't care who it is, man will sooner or later disappoint you or let you down. Why? I think all of you have been around people long enough to know none of us are perfect. And something that I might think was just dandy fine might offend somebody. So God's never going to offend you. He may correct you, but he won't offend you. And if he does, you needed it. Okay? So be under our Father. And what he says in this word, scopia, is to put the scope on it, investigate. And it means with a critical eye, yes, but it means in the sense of as if you would spy, you know, as if in a covert way. What does that mean? That you don't offend someone if their actions are different, but you're really checking it out to the depth. He expects you to do that. Why? He's given you the example to follow in Paul, in Christ, in the apostles, and people of God's Word. He's given you those people as an example, besides the Messiah himself. And you have the one to pattern after in them. Okay, so be very careful if someone gives you a doctrine that you can't back up in the Word of God. That's why he told you to put the scope on it. They start feeding you a bunch of malarkey. I mean, it's messing with your soul. It's messing with your opportunity for eternal life. And while I'm talking, open your Bibles to Philippians, if you will, about chapter 3. And he gives us one chapter there, and I'm going to base a lot of this lecture on that one chapter where the Philippians are being instructed. And it's extremely important that you follow the advice. That is, if you want eternal life. Now, I will say at the same time, when you, with a critical eye, investigate something, it's not your responsibility necessarily to change the doctrine of that person or anyone else. It's that you stick to God's Word and plant a seed, and if it doesn't grow, they're on their own. He will even tell you in one place today, separate yourself from them if you have to. I mean, if it gets offensive, don't be, in other words, if you do it with a critical eye and you put the scope on it, don't offend them. Just do that within yourself and always check it out in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3. And Philippians chapter 3, we'll read in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, in other words, we're getting ready to close out. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. In other words, if I say these same things over and over again and again, don't you be discouraged. It's safe. It's good for you. Verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. In other words, beware of things that differ from what you are instructed in this letter that Almighty God has sent to you. Be very careful and beware. Naturally, he has mentioned people here that are devoid of any spiritual morals. You're going to have people that, he'll go into detail. Let's go with it. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision. That means both male and female, circumcised in heart, in Christ. Okay? Which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Flesh will sooner or later lead you adrift if you begin to listen to some mortal flesh person that's on a gig, a kick, that's trying to make a name for themselves rather than making the names just mentioned, our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Okay? The Word is what is important. Man is not good. Man tries to be good. The Word is good. The Word will stick with you. The Word will prosper you, and the Word will teach you truth that makes you successful in life. All other things of flesh kind of fall by the wayside. And I'm not telling you, I hope you never think that I would persuade anyone to be a religious fanatic. I'm not talking, that's not even in the record. If you follow the example they set, they were not religious fanatics, neither should you be. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul was look at his credentials. 5, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. If you want to know what tribe Benjamin was, here in Romans 11 documents it. He was a Benjamite. In Hebrew, of the Hebrews, that's Eber, from those that crossed the river, okay, what river? Euphrates into Babylon, all right? As touching the law of Pharisee, he studied the law under Gamaliel, one of the greatest scholars aside from Christ of that day, a Hebrew scholar, fantastic scholar. 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Man, he was good at it. He tore the church up one side and down the other, the Christian church, that is to say, when he was a Pharisee. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I'd go out and give these Christians a hard time, and according to the law of man, it was okay. I was doing the right thing. He was on the road to Damascus with a law paper, that is to say, credentials in his pocket to destroy the church at Damascus, to arrest them. And it was good. It was okay. But it didn't make it okay with the Father. All right? Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Compared to him, all that was nothing. And what is he saying to you? I thought my doctrine was sound. I thought I was very religious. My credentials were impeccable, according to man. But he said, when it comes to Christ, it was nothing. I was wrong. I was doing wrong. So how do you correct that? You go by the Word, by Christ's teachings. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He said, that church I was in, I count it as nothing but dung compared to the real beauty of the teachings of Christianity. A little strong. Paul taught strong. He taught boldly. He meant it. When he meant it, that's fine. That's the way he felt about it. And, hey, if rejecting the Son of God, the only begotten, if you're in a religion that differs with that, you're not going to make it. So that's why dung was tossed in the street, and symbolic of to hell with it, all right, so to speak. That's where it was going, and he knew it, and he taught it straight so that anyone that was confused would know how to mark it and note it. And know, hey, there's one gate, friend, and that gate is the Son. Now, it's good for people to love God and so on and so forth, but I'm going to tell you, and the gate is not closed till the end of the millennium, so that those that are misled will be taught by who? You. Then Satan will be released, and we'll see how many make it through the gate then, okay? God loves his children. There are, I will say this to someone that might misunderstand, there are no second chances. Some people just don't have a chance to start with. Verse 9, And he found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. My own self-righteousness wouldn't get me anywhere. But the righteousness, what is righteous? The righteous acts of serving Christ, of what Christ taught us, what we follow. That's what makes it right. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death, unto his death. Hey, he did that for you. Okay. He did it for me. He did it for all of his children. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, I'm looking forward to that final change. Paul said, I'm looking forward to the time I'll be in that spiritual body. We worship spirit. I'm looking forward to it. And he'd been pretty roughed up, okay, in serving God. If you truly serve God and you teach truth, you're going to get roughed up by certain people. But consider it a compliment. Don't ever let it get under your skin. All right? And many might say, well, what will people say? Who cares? Who cares what people say if what you're doing is the Word of God? And that doesn't make you any better than anyone else. But don't draw back. Keep those traces taut when you're doing God's Word. Don't slack off because of some person. And now, this has nothing to do with seed planting. Sometimes you have to slack off there. But I'm talking about in doing God's work. Don't apologize for God, or you're headed for trouble. It's the only way. And that gate, you want to mark it. You want to note it. You want to put the scope on it if you have to, or you're going to miss it. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, like as if I'd already made it, either were already perfect, secured, that I had it made and was secured, but I follow after if that I may apprehend, I may overcome that for which also I am apprehended or captured of Christ Jesus. I want to be captured by him. You know, and you do as well. You are a captive of his word, his truth. And you wouldn't have it any other way. Why? It's all blessing. That's the way you overcome. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't captured the completion yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. It never does you any good to look back at mistakes you've made. And Paul made a bunch of them. He admitted it at the beginning of this chapter. It does not one iota. Once you've repented, God doesn't want to hear about it again. The only thing you do about that is behind you is you don't forget, so that you don't make the same mistakes again. Other than that, concentrate, focus, take note, mark, put the scope on it, that's ahead, that you're going to accomplish, that you're going to overcome. There's not one human being that doesn't make mistakes at times. And to become perfect is to mature, and then you're never going to be perfect. Nobody is, okay? Some people may think they are, that's fine, I guess, but unfortunately the flesh doesn't have enough lean that one can be perfect a whole life. Maturity is a wonderful thing, because when you're a child, spiritually, you think as a child. When you're an adult and mature as a Christian, in the spirit, you think as an adult. And some of the things that you might have thought were very important to you and in your life when you were new become not so important in relation to truth after you mature in Christ. Okay, verse 14. Don't look backwards, look forward. I press toward the mark. There's the word, okay? Toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This word is scopus. Scopos. S-K-O-P-O-S in the Greek. And as I stated, our word scope kind of comes from it. Put it under the scope. Analyze it. Look at it as a judge would. And I'm not telling you to judge, but this is the heart of your spiritual discernment. Sometimes a person has a hard time spiritually discerning something. And the reason this lecture came to me is to help people better be able to make decisions under that microscope. That gives you a better way of weighing it. Does it meet the approval of God's word? Is it right in that sense? Now, you have to do your best. You've got a lot of help that's going to follow this up, though. I want you to know that coming out the gate. But you still got to put the scope to it, even to the point of having a very critical eye. That means in the sense of critiquing, all right? Not doing harm, but looking it over as to whether it be real or not. And there's many ways to tell. By their fruit you shall know them, all right? Any deed, any person, or anything, by their fruit. Look at that fruit, and you will know them. But discern in that way, and put that scope to it. And what are you scoping to start out with? An individual? I kind of hope not. It doesn't hurt to look them over pretty, but what they're teaching, what they're saying, and what they're doing. It is the acts that bring about correct discernment. Otherwise, if you're judging a person, it is true that we have built in, a Christian has built in discernment, that you can meet somebody and in 5 minutes, you're going to have formed an opinion. And you know something? Most of the time, that's probably right. Most of the time. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes it can be very wrong, though, and that's why you put the scope to it. Because it can be very painful to misdiscern someone. That's why you put the scope to what they do, what they teach, and make sure it aligns with the Word of God. You mark it, and you mark it well. Okay. As he said in the opening of this, beware. Beware of dogs, beware of people that would have a different doctrine, and so on and so forth. He says, I press. Do you know what the word press means? It means I work hard at reaching that mark or bringing that scope on it. It's good, because it keeps you from being wrong a lot of times. I don't think anyone gets pleasure from being wrong, and it can be hurtful to others. Verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, write mature in the column here. Nobody's going to be perfect, all right? It's mature. Be thus minded. This is the way you think. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you have any little thing that comes up that you, where you disagree, where you find a disagreement, God promises through this one that he's going to reveal to you whether it's right or wrong. All right. He's going to give you that perception, that discernment, once you have faith in him. But put the scope to it, friend. Put the scope to it. You've got to do your part. Okay? So many people say, well, I just prayed about it. Well, praying is good. But it takes a little action on your part. And if you have a little disagreement with someone, think about it. And even if it's an attitude, which minded kind of means the mindset of someone, they might have a total different opinion. Anyone can teach what they want to teach, but that doesn't mean you want anything to do with it. All right? That's their problem, not yours. But God will give you the discernment of whether it's right or wrong, and it's best you don't, when you start furthering that is wrong, God's going to punish you. You're going to be corrected, I guarantee you, okay? 16, nevertheless, besides all that, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind, get your mindset, the same thing. What? Leave it up to the Word. Stick to the Word of God. Stick to the example that He has set. If you are pretty well founded in the Word of God, your spiritual discernment grows very sharp. You know immediately whether something basically is right or wrong, true or false. I don't care how well-founded you might be in the Word, you would be amiss if you still did not put the scope to it, okay? If you didn't mark it, and mark it well. The same rules still apply. 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark. There's that word again, only here, instead of scopus, it is scopio. S-K-O-P-E-O in the Greek, Scopio, and it means take aim at it. It means a little different, get a little sharper bead on it. Take aim. Let me read it that. Brother, be followers together of me, and take aim of them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You've got us to look at. If anybody does it any different, hey, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb in your mind if you pay attention. If you like sideshows, hey, go for it, friend. Adios amigo. If you like the Word of God, stick with it. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, I've warned you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Anybody that deviates from the teaching, the ones that he practiced with such zeal and others, are enemies of the cross. Anybody that takes away from the cross is an enemy of the cross. Anyone that sticks to the gospel, to the Word, to the prophets, is of the cross, because they all pointed to the cross. And the cross did not destroy the law. It fulfilled it, as Colossians 2 stipulates. Verse 19, whose end is destruction. It means perdition. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Never try to make a name for yourself. And for God's sakes, if you ever start a ministry, don't put your name to it. If you don't put any name to it, let it be the Shepherd or Christ or our Father. Okay? You don't need to build a name for yourself except in His book. And hey, if somebody wants to do that, it's fine with me, all right? Now that I realize again, I forget when we're here at home that we're on national television sometimes. And there's a few people that have felt, I guess, right and led to call their ministry by their name, and hey, I don't have any kick with it, but I would never do it, and I don't think you should either. We're to further Christianity. That's what it's all about, okay? If you let man get into it, his belly, his needs, and so forth, I'll just say quite frankly, this is why I've never taken a salary for teaching God's Word in many, 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 over 50 years. Because I don't want people to have to worry about what's in it for me. What's in it for me is the joy of teaching God's Word. And I have enough faith in God that He takes such good care of me, I don't have to worry about money. Okay? In other words, I believe what I teach. I know what I teach is accurate, or I wouldn't teach it. I even pray, God, rather than let me mislead someone, take the ministry away from me. And I mean it. That was my prayer coming out the gate before I even started in television. And I still feel that way. If we can't help people, we're better off to be silent. But what helps people? The Word of God. Mark it. Put the scope on it. Check it out. And if some idiot comes to you with a bunch of malarkey, get rid of him. He's going to perdition. And he misleads God's children. If it won't align with God's Word, they are not of God and they are not of the cross, period. So that's all discernment is about. Mark it. Put the scope to it. 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is wherever God is, and the Son is at the right hand of the Father. 21. Who shall change our vile body. Now, anytime you get real proud of yourself, read this verse if you must. Who will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able, I repeat, is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. When you're with Him, He'll do that. When you're against Him, what do you think He's going to do? Well, how I would never be against Him, then stay with Him by what? Following the Word. Educating yourself in the Word. And keep man out of it, especially yourself. Let God work. Then within that, the Holy Spirit will work. And you may have a successful work, but it will be Christ that does it. Never forget that. It is the Word that is powerful, that changes lives, that fulfills dreams, that prospers people, that matures, makes them perfect. No, mature, yes, matures people, whereby you have a little bit of an advantage, quite frankly, in understanding the world, because you know what the prophecy says is going to happen to the world. If you know what tomorrow brings, you should be able to take care of yourself real good. Okay. Well, how do I find out? Right here. God, what did Christ say in Mark 13? I have foretold you all things, not a few things, all things. The question is, have you read it? Do you have eyes to see it? Do you have ears to hear? Okay, so there we have Paul probably. And that one, from here on, we're going to just kind of touch around and touch on the importance of this scope, this microscope, the spiritual microscope, we'll call it. There you have it kind of laid out in life, where he warns you, hey, there's some really misled people out there. Did you all know that? There are people out there that are really misled. And that doesn't mean that you need be misled, because you have a microscope spiritually that you can focus on the Word of God. And that way, you're not going to go wrong. You're going to be successful. You're going to be an overcomer. And you're going to apprehend. You're going to capture and be captured by Almighty God, whereby He can use you And quite frankly, he cannot use you until you are captured. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11 in the gospel. Luke chapter 11. And verse 29 of Luke chapter 11. Let's get Christ's direct teachings. If you had a red letter edition, starting with 29, most of it will be the words of Christ. Listen to it. 29, Luke 11. And when the people were gathered sick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet." And of course, Jonas is the Greek for Jonah in the Hebrew. It means Jonah, the dagon, the fish created by God, entertained for 3 days. 30. "For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." What kind of sign was Jonas to the Ninevites? What did the Ninevites worship? They worshiped a fish god. And when God created a special fish, Dagon, that took old Jonah in, and then, I mean, here these old boys are down there, and this whale fish burps old Jonah out. That's their savior, friend. When you worship a fish god, if you ever wonder how in the world did Jonah convert so many Ninevites, they already worship fish, and here's a live man come burp right out of that god, that fish. Well, why not listen to him, okay? But that's a sign. Do you know why? The earth burped Christ out, or he burped himself out. Maybe that sounds sacrilegious in a way, doesn't it? But I guess that I'm a communicator, all right? And he said, "Let Jonah's sign be the sign." Well, that's the sign. The earth spit him out. And he resurrected. It couldn't hold him. Death could not over. He said, "Hey, that's all you're going to get. That's the only sign you're going to have. I'm not staying in that tomb. I don't care if it does belong to a rich man. I'm out of there." Okay? That's the sign. Verse 31, "The queen of the south," that's Queen Sheba, 1 Kings chapter 10, "shall rise up in the judgment of the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Messiah himself was. I mean, she did. She went a long way. How far? I know some of you do me so proud because I know how far you come to hear the word. You get out of bed and turn on the television. I jest because we have a lot of guests that drive to this little old town of Gravette, and it's such a beautiful metropolitan area here on earth. I mean, after all, we grew. We've got 1,800 people. Because we moved the city limits way out where we take in a lot of chicken farmers now, okay? Hey, we're getting there, okay? But anyway, I appreciate that. Verse 32, "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." He has made it very clear. He gave us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. That old rich man said, "For God's sake, send Lazarus back to talk to my brothers, because if they see a man come back from the dead, they'll believe him." Christ knew that he was coming back from the dead very soon. They weren't going to believe him. Many of them do not to this day. That's what he's talking about. 33, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Now, beloved, this is why he wants you to put the scope to it. If he can use you for a candle, What kind of light do you think he wants you to reflect? What some old boy said or what God said? Which do you think he's going to bless? I mean, listen to me. God blesses those that teach his word, not man's word, not man's traditions that make void the word of God. He said, if I light you a wick, I want you to be careful what it is you're shining out there. Because Satan is darkness. You start putting a bunch of malarkey out there to the people, and I know how to put your little light out. Okay. So if you light one, put the scope to it. Make sure of yourself. Put a critical eye to it. Discern spiritually whether it really be of God or not. Well, how do I know? The Word of God. I know I repeat myself, beloved, but it's here. This is it. It is your life. It tells you how to be happy. Verse 34. The light of the body is the eye. That's why you can discern someone when you first meet them. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Now, according to what your eye sees that it absorbs in the mind and sets it in concrete, if you're not careful, accepting traditions that you haven't read from here, but the mind will tell you, oh, yes, that's biblical. Have you checked it out? Did you put the scope to it? You'd be surprised how many people, when I say, poor little children, misguided, showing Eve eating an apple and it's a lie, they'll say, boy, I jerked my Bible out to prove you wrong. You know, I mean, they had heard that so long and had seen it that they had accepted it as the Word of God that Eve actually ate an apple. And when they got there, they could see that they'd been deceived. And it jars them, but that's good. That's good. They put a critical eye to it. That's what it's talking about here. The eye mirrors the soul. That's why you can discern a person if you're Christianly, if you are Christ-attuned, okay? You can discern. And it doesn't take very long. No one can deceive you at the drop of a hat. You will never misjudge someone because you're not going to judge anyone. If they want to fool themselves, have a good day, all right? Have fun at it. It doesn't matter to you. You stick to the Word of God, and you'll always be a blessing to those you come in contact with. It is better to be a blessing than a big disappointment, okay? The eye mirrors the soul. Pay attention to the eye. Place it through the scope. Analyze the situation. Mark it well. And then what you determine, even if it's a little bit different, God will go ahead, if you believe him, and straighten it out in your mind, showing you the truth, either from Scripture or a touch from the Holy Spirit. Do you pray for knowledge? Do you think God's going to send you a lie? And from his word? Of course not. If you pray for understanding, he's going to give you bread. Okay. As long as you work at it. Verse 35. Take heed. What do you think this little word heed is in the Greek? It's scopio. Okay. It's not translated mark, and it's not translated note. It's translated heed, but it's still scopio in the text. And it means put the scope to it. Take sure aim. When you take a sure aim at something, you mean you're not going to miss, friend. Be careful is what he's saying. Therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. You don't want darkness, do you? I don't think so. Who wants darkness when that's symbolic of Satan? It's not only symbolic of Satan, it is Satan. Because the darkness, when your eye has darkness in it, it's obvious you're going nowhere. Well, does that show? It sure does. For the eye mirrors the soul. Verse 36, and we'll complete here. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, if you've scoped it out, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. That's the way you want to be. Scope it out. Analyze it. And never be ashamed to say, Father, I just can't quite discern this. He'll give it to you. If you believe naturally, if you're a believer and if you truly believe, He will help you. He will help you to have a clear understanding. If you really scope it out, that means to critique it, okay? Analyze it. You know, example, if somebody is teaching falsely, if it be one of those dogs we read of in Philippians chapter 3, sure, you know a dog by the way it barks, don't you? Okay. You know a dog by the way he scratches fleas, don't you? Now, I'm using analogies here. Pick up with me. If he starts teaching something that's an old, dirty hound dog trick, you're going to know it just like that. They can't fool you. Why? Because you're founded. You put the scope on the Word. You know how Paul handled it. You know how Christ handled it. You know how Mark, Matthew, John, Luke handled it. And if they didn't handle it, if the people don't handle it that way, there's something bad wrong. So, you can see truth. And God loves you for that. But He still, He must encourage us, check it out. Don't take it for granted. But He's such a good old boy. Good old boy, don't cut it. It's whether He's speaking truth or not. All right? That's what counts. And truth is the Word of God. Romans 16, one time here. We're going to wind down here in a little bit. Paul teaching again. Romans 16. I want to go to verse 17. I made myself some notes, and they're colder than can be. I've got verses there that I have no idea. It's probably from the Greek text or something, but it's growing cold. But be that as it may, all right? Here we go. Verse 17, Romans 16. Paul teaching. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark Scopio. S-K-O-P-E-O, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary, this is how you tell, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Well, I just wanted to be a good old boy. Avoid them. If there's no hope, if the seed has been planted and it hasn't been taken, you're wasting your time. God has a better purpose for you. Is to be where you can give proper growth. Otherwise, join up, mislead a bunch of people, and guess where you're going? I mean, God takes this very serious. He has foretold us all things. Have you read it? Avoid them. 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own ego. And by good words, oh, it sounds so good. By good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That means just the regular people. And you know something? That's when, if you've ever noted me, it's when somebody begins to deceive the sheep, I can get pretty bold about it. I don't like it. But, you know, most people, if they've got a good teacher, they're going to scope it. Dumb people, you can't really help. You know, if they have, I shouldn't say that. I really shouldn't say dumb people, you can't help. You can. It's people that are so stiff-necked that they look at the man instead of the Word of God. But it's hard to help them, so don't waste your time, all right? And I know that'll be misunderstood. You plant, always broadcast seed, like we do on television, all right? When you broadcast seed, what is it? It hits everybody, all right? Everybody has the equal chance, right, to hear truth. Some it will fall on and will take it, and some, guess what, it's not going to take. But I guess what I'm trying to say is don't you be the one that judges whether someone receives or not receives. But put the scope to it, and if they choose to go a different way than you, avoid them. That's all there is to it. Then there's no problem. That's good, all right? Sometimes God even uses that to split away sour grapes, to get rid of it out of the body, and sometimes he uses it to further a ministry. So it's been that way since the beginning of time. Verse 19, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. That is to say, innocent. You got to be able to discern evil when you hear it. It can sound fair. Ooh, that's a good speech. If it isn't of God's word and it's misleading your brethren, it's terrible. It's an abomination. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That's why you've got to be prepared. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Hey, if your boots aren't made for walking, if your boots aren't made for treading down, you remember I delivered a message just a few whatever ago about treading down or walking. That it means stomp on them. When you're dealing with Satan, you know, you got to get rough with him sometimes. And it is scriptural right from the Psalm. You're going to tread on him. Don't give him a shot. Don't give him a chance. Well, I'd never give Satan a chance. Then you listen to me. Anytime you don't put the microscope to it and you call out the junk, you're listening to Satan. And you're going along with it. And God don't like it. You put the microscope to it and you look at it. And if it doesn't line up with God's word, avoid it. We're coming down to a time that is close. Are you telling us to be rude to our friends? Absolutely not. I'm saying be rude to Satan. He's our enemy and he dwells in many people that try to sidetrack people. God has chosen elect that stay by that plumb bob, that straight and narrow, which is to say in the Word, and stick with it. Stay focused. Do that, that furthers people's hearts, minds, and souls. When you place the scope on it, you avoid nonsense. Be mature and study God's Word. That doesn't mean you can't have a good time in life. It doesn't mean you can't have a good time teaching God's Word. I do. We get pretty straight and a little salty sometimes, but that's good too. Okay, it takes it. Because of what's out there, that means Satan lurking. In closing, Ezekiel, Old Testament, we would be amiss if we didn't get some of the millennium teaching into this. Chapter 44. Ezekiel 44, we've been in the millennium for four chapters here in the great book of Ezekiel. We're already there. You're already in that spiritual body. You either at this point have taken part in the first resurrection, or you may get a chance in the second. May. That's up to God. Okay? But you must come with me spiritually to understand the prophecy we're about to read, which has to do with the millennium when we're already in spiritual bodies As you know, this is the chapter that God the elect called Zadok in the Hebrew tongue, which simply means upright, just. That means elect. We'll teach during the millennium. That's what you're going to do. But here, before you get to that place, let's begin reading Ezekiel 44, verse 4. Just a few verses here, and we're going to close. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house. We're seeing the millennium temple of God, okay? And I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face. That meant that God's angel, God's presence, that Shekinah glory was there. God was in that house. 5. And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well. There's your word. Scope it. Mark well and behold with thine eyes. How's your eye doing? Is it clear? Is it mirror in your soul? And hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord. All. You got it? Not part. All. Well, can't we just throw in a little tradition here now and then? No. And all the laws thereof, and mark. There's your word again. Scope it. Mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. It's saying, mark that gate pretty well. Now, you can pronounce this in the Hebrew sin or sum, S-O-O-M. It's S-I-Y-M in the Hebrew, but the way you would pronounce it in English would be S-O-O-N. Or you could even change the vowels and call it S-E-E-N-M, sin. Sin or sum, either one you want to is fine with me. But it means mark it, scope it. Initially, we're in the Hebrew Bible, so it's Hebrew. That happens to be, but it's Hebrew. And it also means discern. This word in the Hebrew has many meanings, but the strongest here is determine, analyze, mark it. You rememberize the gate. Let me ask you a question. If you be one of the sheep, who tends the gate? How do you mark it? Christ. If he isn't there with the staff for you to pass under, you're not going to make it. He is the way. He is the gate. You want to mark it well and not let somebody confuse you on that. Not throw a lot of traditions your way. Whereby, you know, traditions can come in many shapes and sizes. Well, how do I know then? By the Word of God and your discernment. Let your eye, do you notice that even in the Hebrew, the eye mirrors the soul and the tongue, that is to say, naturally. We have the same author of this book, regardless of what language it's brought forth from in the text, Aramaic, Greek, or Hebrew. Same author as our father. Verse 6, and thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations. Hey, he's not happy about when people bring in traditions. In that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers. God's particular about Mount Zion. He loves it. Uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh to be in my sanctuary to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat, and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations, and ye have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but you have set keepers, Kenites, if you like. That's not the text, but I'm helping you out here a little bit. Keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. You set it up that way. And then he continues on and he explains a little later why the 144,000 are separated from the very elect. The elect are separated from the very elect. Why? When Israel goes astray, they do too. When the false Messiah appears, they're going to bow to him for a moment. But then when you begin to witness, they're going to snap out of it. Why? Because you made the prophecy to them. Oh, I didn't make a prophecy. No, you told them you were going to be delivered up before the Spirit of Messiah. That's a prophecy. And when you are, they're going to say, my goodness, that person told me this was going to happen before the fact. Okay, scrutinize, mark it, mark the truth. Don't let anyone dent it. Don't let anyone abuse it. Hold them to God's commandments and be obedient. Well, what do you mean be obedient? He told you to mark it, scope it. That doesn't mean just read it and say, oh, I just wonder. Don't scope it. Critically analyze it and let your mind rest so that it works like that, that you know. If Satan tries to darken the door of God's house by some man, I'd be so holy if just I hurt myself. Well, if you're that holy, you probably are hurting yourself, okay? I mean, you got some good ones, friend. They got sweet songs and sweet messages. Make sure it's the message of God. Or avoid them. Okay? You're busy. You've got God's work to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. Father, we ask for your direction and guidance in scoping that of the word and that of the people that claim to be of the word. We help us to scope them, Father, and to see your truth as the gauge, as the example that we live by. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 7. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The Book of James. James is a book that I know you'll enjoy because it is written, when you rightly divide it, to those that are scattered abroad. That's to say the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes scattered abroad.